you and yours.
Why pay for radio when it's free right here?
It's the future right now.
All you gotta do is
listen and love it.
VOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, August 29th, 2013. It is 10:34 a.m. Eastern Time. It is the 70th day of summer, 3 weeks and 3 days to autumn. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 16 minutes since last we met just 1 week ago. The sun rose at 6:19 this morning. It will set at 7:32 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 13 minutes of daylight today. Good luck with that. Good luck with 13:13. The moon will rise at 12:55 tonight. It will set at 3:46 tomorrow afternoon. We are 1 day past last quarter anyway, so don't bother looking for the moon in the night sky. It will be, however, a great night for stargazing if the sky is clear, so don't neglect the beauty of a moonless nightscape. There's something wrong with that. It can't rise at 12:55 tonight. I guess I just wrote it down wrong. If it did, you would see it. Next full moon is September 19th. Sorry for that, but you should know that that was not so accurate. Our regular feature now, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Two American soldiers were killed during combat when a roadside bomb detonated in Haft Asiab, Afghanistan on August 23rd, 2013. The two were Specialist Kenneth Clifford Alvarez, age 23, of Santa Maria, California, and Private Jonathan Michael Dean Hostetter, age 20, of Humphreys, Missouri. Private Hostetter was from the 36th Engineer Brigade, no unit given for Specialist Alvarez, but generally when there's two fellows like that, they were in the same unit. So these two American servicemen were alive a week ago on the date of our last broadcast. They were killed the very next day, which is 6 days ago. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. I look forward to the day when the war in Afghanistan and this feature come to an end, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Well, the other night we saw Celebrity Autobiography. This is an ongoing production. Even the website's history page did not disclose how long it has been running, but producer Rick Newman told me it has been on for years. Good enough. It's performed in cabaret space called The Triad on 72nd Street in New York City between Columbus and Amsterdam Avenues. I believe it's part of the Beacon Hotel, if I'm not mistaken. Details are at celebrityautobiography.com, so you really don't need all the details from me. Celebrityautobiography.com. Some fairly well-known performers rotate in and out and read from other celebrities' autobiographies. Clever concept, which accounts for the longevity of this show. It's different each time. They play one Monday a month. I gather it's the last Monday because that's what it was this week. Some of the better-known celebrities who have performed and presumably do recur from time to time when they are in town and not otherwise occupied are Jerry Springer, Lainey Kazan, Matthew Broderick, Florence Henderson, John Goodman, Christy Brinkley, a bunch from Saturday Night Live, and of course, Weird Al Yankovic. They list about 144 different celebrities who are in and out of there. Last week's card was a talented bunch, including Kristen Johnston. You may remember her from Third Rock from the Sun. She was lively, funny, sexy, and beautiful, and an Amazon of a woman. She's big. You stand close to her and you wonder who created that, but she's quite beautiful anyway. She was joined by eight others. They all enjoyed poking fun at other celebrities, including Mama Kardashian, Tiger Woods, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, Ivanka Trump, and others. Actually, it was Ivana Trump's book. Okay, Ivana Trump was the one that was portrayed. Highlights for me were Robert Wool's portrayal of Arnold and a shoe magnate whose name I have forgotten. Wool got into very personal characterizations, more over the top than the others. Very funny. He played Arnold, though he didn't sound exactly like Arnold, but he made it work. I wasn't particularly fond, personally, of the reading from Tiger Woods' autobiography. Naturally, someone who loves anything as much as Tiger loves golf will speak of it in sensual terms, as does Tiger. But I thought they went on a bit too long with the double entendres about stroking and caressing the shaft of golf clubs. Give me a break. But the audience apparently did not agree with me, and they laughed as much through that reading as the others. As I say, everybody has the right to be wrong. The show clearly has a following, as many audience members appear to be attending for the second, third, or tenth version of this very funny and clever show, Celebrity Autobiography, The Triad Club on 72nd Street, Light Fun, Good Cabaret. My guest today, do we have him? We don't have our guest yet. We have a phone call in for him. I'll tell you who he is to be if he gets here in time. His name is Scott McEwen. He's author of two novels, American Sniper and Sniper Elite. Sniper Elite is the most current book. This is the one I just finished reading. It's quite informative. He lives in San Diego, and I will try to answer the questions I have for him. Hopefully, he will call in the meantime. So, just pretend Scott is here answering these questions, and I will ask him and answer them. First of all, he wrote his first book with a fellow named Chris Kyle, who was a friend and co-author. And he was murdered by an ex-Marine at a shooting range in Texas. So they were close friends. They were co-authors. I was going to ask Scott, and I will if he calls in, what happened and regrets for what happened. And now he also is supporting something called the SEAL Team Foundation. Now, the SEAL Team Foundation, as I gather it from speaking to Scott briefly on the phone, puts kids of fallen SEALs through college and other things. Incidentally, since our guest has not surfaced, you may call in if you'd like to talk about this or anything else at 914-636-0110. You know the number. And certainly, if you'd like to talk about snipers in general, about our involvement in Afghanistan, anything about which we speak, okay? Now, there is a character called Sandra Brooks in this book here. She's a female pilot. She's kidnapped, and then they rape her on video, the terrorists who have captured her, and then they post it. It's a work of fiction, but I would ask Scott if Sandra Brooks is actually based on a real American soldier. He did say that it was Jessica Lynch, if you remember who Jessica Lynch is. Do we have Scott or a caller? We have a caller. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just curious, how do you become a sniper? Is that something you go in for, or do they choose you? How does that really work?
Well, snipers have to be marksmen to begin with. Let's talk about Carlos Hathcock for a moment, the legendary Marine sniper. He used to hunt squirrels and rabbits in the backwoods of Arkansas, and he would put food on the table. He loved doing it, and when he first saw somebody in a Marine uniform, he said, I want to be that when I grow up. So he joined the Marines. In fact, he had his mother sign him in when he was about 17 years old. He needed his mother's signature to go in. And he took his marksmanship ability and his patriotism, and you have to be a patriot. You have to really care about your country, because you're killing people. As a sniper, you are such a good marksman that at hundreds of yards, one shot, one kill. You take out a person, a human being. So you have to realize that that person was trying to take out your guys. And that's where your patriotism comes in. What goes into being a sniper is also huge patience. And you have to be able to stalk through woods or desert. You're certainly risking your life, because if you're discovered, then you become hostage or murdered on the spot. You have to get to a position. You have to take that one shot and take out that one target. So to be a sniper, you have to have the natural ability of a marksman, but you have to have so much more. You have to be patient, willing to risk your life. Does that answer?
Yeah, it does. But when you go into the military, is that something you strive for? Is there extra pay? Or since it is such a specific skill?
It's a good question. No doubt you get combat pay for being in combat situations. You actually get hazardous duty pay, yes. But more so than anybody else, just because you're a sniper. I kind of doubt it, just based on my understanding of the military. Okay, we're going to have to take a break now. If you'd like to hold on, you may. Otherwise, thank you very much for the call in. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lovensold. My guest is not here, so I can't say our guest is here. And I can't even find my places. So we'll be right back.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. The White House still considering a response to Syria's use of chemical weapons. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says any military action would be a joint effort.
The United States is consulting with all of our allies. International community.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon still wants to give peace a chance.
I've been working with the leaders of the world, how we can keep peace and facilitate dialogue.
British Prime Minister David Cameron says there should be no military action without the UN Security Council's okay. Ford bringing some production back to the U.S.
Ford President Joe Hinrichs tells Fox News Radio their plant in Mexico couldn't pump out the vehicles fast enough.
We brought in 1,400 new employees here at Black Rock, Michigan.
Ford Fusion sales are up 13% this year, but fell in July because of supply issues.
Fox Radio's Jennifer Kuiper. Jobless claims fell last week, remaining near a five-year low. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Fox News on your time. The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad. Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows. Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist. Listen to Fox News Radio live. Get local weather forecasts. And it's all free. Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi. That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagil walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press. Down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
Do you know the American Heart Association's recommendation for a day's sodium consumption is no more than 2,400 milligrams? That's one teaspoon of salt. Since most Americans take in more than they need, Sound Shore Medical Center encourages you to buy fresh, plain frozen, or canned with no salt added vegetables. Cook rice, pasta, hot cereals without adding salt. Read nutrition labels for products with no more than 140 milligrams of sodium per serving. And of course, reduce added salt at the table. What you don't know can hurt you. WVOX.
We are back. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lovensold. My guest Scott McEwen is not somehow has vanished. I don't know where he is or what happened. We'll try to straighten that out for you in the future. I did find my page of places, so let's just go through that again. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in Possum Trot or Rabbit Hash or Vico, Kentucky, Bluemont, Virginia, Rochester, New York, Rochester, Minnesota, Rochester, Michigan, or Indiana, or Nutley, New Jersey, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we have another caller. Caller?
Sorry, I couldn't hold, so I had to call back.
Oh, okay. It's the same caller. All right. Thank you for calling back. As you can tell, we're in a somewhat of a situation here. What else can I help you with? We were discussing snipers.
I was interested in your take about military involvement in Syria.
Well,
you were, you know, on snipers. I went, let's find out how you feel about that.
Okay, well, we were, Scott and I were to discuss that as well. And former UN ambassador John Bolton has said that his opinion is why should we go into another conflict without American interest? So my take, you know, it's kind of complex. I don't know what the president is going through. I don't know what mistakes he's made. I know one mistake was drawing a line in the sand, saying, all right, there's a red line. Then when the red line is crossed, the poison gas, he says, uh-oh, now I'm in a bind. I'm on the hot seat. I have to go in. Well, I'm not sure what to do. I do think that Assad is an abomination. I thought that Gaddafi was an abomination and Saddam Hussein. But can we eliminate all the abominations in this world? There are so many of them. So is America's role to be the policeman of the world? I don't know. Is it worth our blood? I don't know. If we don't do anything, does that come back and get us? I don't know that either. So it's really complex. Do I think, in my gut, I think we should just go in there, declare war, get rid of Assad, and be done with it. But I think that probably is just a hot-headed opinion, because we can't do that in other countries. They're not, they're sovereign territory that has nothing to do with us, really. So I don't think we can. What would have happened, let's just put it this way, if we had not gone into Vietnam, what would have happened then? Would we now be overrun by communists over there? What would have happened if we had not stood up there? I don't know. I do know that we had to go into World War II. That's the sure one. You had to go in there because Hitler was crazy and he was trying to take over the world. So as for Syria, I'm glad I'm not the president at this moment. If I was, I'd have to make the decision. As it is, I don't. What do you think, caller?
Well, I was wondering, you know, isn't that why the United Nations was established? To buffer individual companies from countries from doing this?
Well, supposedly. But the United Nations is not that powerful an organization. Nobody pays that much attention to it. Right now, China and Russia would veto any proposal, and they have absolute power. There are five countries that have veto power. So what's the point? You say, okay, United Nations, we need to go in there. And Russia and China will say, no, we're not doing it. We're vetoing you. So you can't do it. So you cannot take action. So does that mean the United States cannot take action because they can't get this cumbersome international body to do it? I guess not. We still have to stand up as a major world power and say, look, whether or not you cooperate, we're going to do something. So I guess that's the best answer I can give.
Well, do you still think we should be a world power by going out into other countries, or should we sort of bring in the reins and protect our own and take care of our own and not spend the money out there?
That's a heck of a question. Since I don't know, I mean, you'll ask other hosts here and they will give you a tremendous loud and righteous viewpoints. You'll ask conservatives and they'll say, we should blah, 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 blah. And you ask liberals and they'll say, well, we have to do this. And blah. And everybody has strong opinions. I'm not of that ilk. You know, I like to look at the situation. I like to consider the human lives that are at risk. Certainly our lives, American lives, are the most precious just simply because I am an American, not because a French life or a Palestinian life is less important in the grand scheme, but it's my country. I live here, and these are my guys. I served in the military, and these are just regular guys from all over America. They're country guys, city guys. They're Americans, so I have to look out for them first. So do we get involved in places where there are terrible dictators doing terrible things? Or is it a matter of degree? With Hitler, he was doing such terrible things and he was threatening to take over the world that I have no doubt that it was right to make war against him. Is Assad really a danger? I don't know. Was Saddam Hussein really a danger? To his own people, maybe, but maybe that's what had to happen over there. I am encouraged by the Arab Spring, but it's certainly a messy, messy process. And the Arabs are trying to set their country straight, all of them. They've overthrown several dictators. Egypt has been changed, and Iraq has been changed, and I guess Afghanistan too. I don't know. But for the better or not, only time can tell that.
Well, if we go into Syria or wherever, does that mean we have to increase our military, or are these people already in place and we just have to send them somewhere else?
Do we have to bring up
the National Guard, or how does that work?
You mean send them someplace else?
Do we have enough military to go into Syria without calling up more troops?
It's not a question of calling out more troops. It's a question of the guys were already over there. They were already serving in combat. And we want to bring them home. We don't want to have troops in harm's way.
Well, it's almost as if we're becoming a military state. You know, we've got military all over the place. Is that good?
So what are the consequences if we don't?
You tell me. What are the consequences?
I wish I had that crystal ball. I'm afraid I don't.
I mean, history shows that doesn't always work.
No, there's no way to know. And in a proper political system like we're supposed to have, if the Republicans were in power, they would have certain solutions which would work. And if the Democrats were in power, they would have certain solutions which would also work. They're just alternates. The way it is today, however, they're so diametrically opposed, and they so dislike each other and so mistrust each other. Okay, thanks very much for the call. We do have another caller. I'd like to take that call. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Bob. It's Louie.
Good morning, Louie.
Bob, I want to say one thing here. To me, the biggest phonies in the world is the United Nations. If they were really for peace and really for mankind, they would stick together in a block and against humanity, what's going on in the Middle East, except for self-interest groups, what they're really for. And that's the biggest thing. You know, everything shouldn't be on United States' plate, that we got to bail this out. If it was a true United Nations, if United Nations was it supposed to be a uniting of nations instead of self-interest groups, it would be like that.
Yeah, but the reality is what you've just stated. It's not fair. Justice is hard to come by. You know, we are in this world as we are, and we have to accept it as we do. Otherwise, we don't enjoy our own lives. So my philosophy is simply try to enjoy myself as much as possible, do whatever good I can, but not to anguish so much over the injustices and the unfairness, because that I'd be doing nothing else because there's so much. I mean, if you just If you just think about fracking, it drives you crazy, or nuclear power drives you crazy, right, Louis?
Well, I agree. I agree. But I just believe that this United Nations is just a coffee clutch, in my opinion. If they were really true united, they would stick together and everybody would stand up. If you remember Gulf War I with Kuwait, there was a lot of nations that were behind us and that Kuwait was invaded, a small country. Now it seems like everybody wants to push the buck to the United States.
Well, we have shown that we are willing to take that buck, sometimes reluctantly, but if I'm a Frenchman, why would I get myself killed if I can see an American go in there and get killed? So it's kind of self-interest, really.
Well, you know what? You could get killed, but the respect, you would get no respect back for it in the meanwhile. So, I think that, it's ridiculous. If there's a United Nations, there should be a United Nations, like I said, not just a group of self-interest people.
I agree. It's too bad it's that way.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks very much, Louis.
All right, bye.
Okay, I'd like to thank Louis and that other caller for being my guest today. Questions of war and peace and politics are not going to be solved today on this program. Each of you is entitled to feel the way you do. Just try to be thoughtful when establishing your opinions, especially when they have to do with the taking of life. Our thought for the week: walk barefoot on the beach at dawn. Don't brush off your shoes, then track the sand into your home. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the universe. I don't know if Howard is here, but I am Bob Lovensoul, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health, happiness to you all.
The local station with a national...